The following audio is brought to you by Summerside Community Church in London, Ontario. For more information on Summerside, visit us online at www.summersidechurch.ca.
So this week I had the chance to go on to go to a conference with my wife. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Heather and I and our eight-week-old were in Toronto at a conference. And it was a great time, right? This was our first time with an eight-week-old with this baby going out, and it was a little crazy in the hotel room, 2 o'clock in the morning, but we made it through. And one of the things that we love about this, both Heather and I, that I love, is the opportunity to connect with people, right? There's a number of people there that we know from our past, people whose paths we have crossed. We crossed their paths, but they didn't like that either. People that we know, people that we've been to school with or ministered alongside, and people always ask the same questions, right? It's like, hey, how's things at Summerside? How's things at your church? How's things here? And unfortunately, sometimes, I talk to individuals I know who are struggling in their ministry context, right? Who feel alone, who feel isolated, who are up against fighting some tough battles. And I recognize that, God has us in a good place right now, that, there's no major crisis going on or anything like that. And I notice that I always kind of say to people, yeah, things are going amazing. Things are going great. And as I reflect on the reason why I'm inclined to say that things are going well, it's not just that, good things are happening. I think an important distinction is that a lot of it for me comes from this recognition of relationship. That one of the things that Heather and I prize about being at Summerside is the friends and the relationships that we have of people who know us, who love us, and people who we know and we love. Right? I mean, the last thing that we'd want is to go to a church or to be a pastor of a church where, I show up on Sunday, I do my thing, and then we live in total isolation for the rest of the week. And so as I respond and as I say to people, things are going really well at Summerside. I'm really enjoying it. I'm really encouraged. A lot of that comes down to the relationships that we experience here. Today, in our series on Real Church, we're going to look at the importance of real relationships. True and genuine relationships between God's people that anchor us and help us to grow. When we started the two services, we started this series called Real Church. And it's a look at the church in Acts chapter 2. Right? It's the birth and the formation of the church. I mean, God has always had his people that he has been working in and through in the Old Testament. And on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit comes, and this is a significant day in the life of the church. What we see is that after Jesus's death and resurrection, after his ascension to heaven, he sends the Spirit to empower his disciples for the mission that he's told them to do. He doesn't say to them, go and make disciples, try to figure it out as you're doing it. He says, go and make disciples, and I'm with you always because I'm going to go back to the Father and I'm going to send the Spirit. And then boom, on the day of Pentecost, the disciples, who at once were fearful and confused under now the power of the Spirit, are proclaiming the good news of Jesus. So the Spirit comes. That was part one. You can catch up on the podcasts. Part two was a look at how the church isn't geographically limited. It has a global mission or a global mandate to reach the nations. We see that in God drawing the nations together on this incredible day, overcoming the language barriers supernaturally, and then sending his people out. Part three last week was, hey, we have a message to proclaim, and we proclaim it with authority. We don't apologize for the good news, we proclaim it. And the good news is that those who repent and are baptized, those who repent and respond in faith to Jesus can be forgiven. I mean, you think about it. Peter is here on the day of Pentecost preaching the sermon, and he's talking to the people who crucified Jesus. And what does he say to them? If you repent and if you offer Jesus your allegiance, you can be forgiven. I mean, that's the message that we proclaim. It's not about you and I and religion and trying hard and being a good, upstanding citizen. It is wholly based, completely based and premised on who Jesus is and what he's done for us. That's the good news that we proclaim. Today, we're going to go real practical. Today, we're going to talk about relationships. And so this last section of Acts chapter 2, if you have your Bible, start turning there. This last section of Acts chapter 2, we're going to tag team Mark and I over this Sunday and next Sunday. And we're going to kind of look at it from a few different angles and look at some of the themes that we see present here. Sometimes people say something like, oh man, we got to get back to the early church. We got to get back to being an Acts 2 kind of church. And I understand what it is that they're saying. And in some sense, a part of that sentiment I accept and I recognize. You know, but Mark and I were talking this week in the office how God doesn't call us to be the church of Acts chapter 2. He calls us to be the church in 2018 in London. Right? That we are called to carry out the mission, the mandate, proclaim the message of the good news in the context that we find ourselves in. But today, what we're going to see is that there are themes around this concept of relationship that are important for you and for me. That if we're going to be a real church that sees people come in the door, that sees people welcomed, that sees people loved, cared for, built up, it's going to happen through real relationships. It's not just going to happen through, you know, trying to preach great sermons and have great music and have great programs. It's going to happen through relationship. We're going to see the importance that real relationships play in being a real church. So if you have your Bibles, Acts chapter 2, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the biographies of Jesus. Now we get to the book of Acts. It's called the Acts of the Apostles or the Acts of the Holy Spirit as he empowers his people and the message goes out. So let me read this for you. I'm going to put it up on the screen. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is God's word for us today, and this is what we're going to look at. So let's start off kind of with a recognition that this is going to be a very practical type sermon. Right? Some of these themes of the authority of Scripture, some of these themes of prayer, we've just addressed that in the Living to Last, and Mark's going to hit on a few of those things next week. But I want to take this in a very practical direction and talk about the nature of our relationships and how we interact and how we are going to be effective as a church as we continue to grow and to reach out. Just a couple of things I want to mention here from this little short passage. I mean, first of all, right, what they're doing, it's not rocket science. It's not that complicated of a church structure, is it? I mean, four things. They devote themselves to the apostles' teaching. They fellowship together. They celebrate the Lord's table, communion. They recognize and they enjoy that feast together that Jesus has died on the cross, has been raised from the dead, proclaiming his death until he comes again. And they pray. Pretty simple. Pretty basic. Sometimes when we look around, it's easy to say, oh my goodness, you know, we've added so much to church and we've got all these additions and programs and numbers and strategies. And again, I don't think that that's wrong. Can they be abused? Can they become unhealthy? Absolutely. Right? But we have to have our finances in order so that the lights stay on. Right? We have child protection policy that we that we are strict with to keep our kids safe. There's a number of things we do that go beyond these simple four, but this is our bread and butter, right? You're not going to improve on this. And today I'm focusing on real relationships. So if we're going to be a church of real relationships, if we're going to be a community where people are loved and accepted, here's the first thing you need to do. 3 points, very simple. Here's the first one. Jump in. Jump in. What do I mean by that? If you're going to get in the pool, at some point you got to get off the ledge and you got to jump in. If you're going to be in relationship in community, at some point you got to take some ownership and jump in. I mean, take a look at what we read here about these believers. They devoted themselves. They were together. They had everything in common. Every day they continued to meet together. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together. I mean, this isn't a group of believers who just show up once a week, nod hello, and then head right back out the door of the temple. This is a group of believers who are all in, who have a sense of ownership and a desire. They are leaning in and tilting into community as opposed to just being an observer or being passive in it. We have a process for getting connected here at Summerside. Right? Very, very simple. And I think it's important for all of us to recognize it so that as new people come, as you invite your friends, which is what we're praying that you do, you can walk with them through this journey. The first thing is to fill out a connection card. Right? The information that we get, we can follow up with the people, get to know them individually, schedule a meeting, give them a phone call. Fill out a connection card. The second one is come to Connections 1. Connections 1 is now going to be taking place during the second service at 11:15. Communications will be coming about that. We have one on the calendar. But Connections 1 is an introduction to who we are as a church. Right? People can ask questions. We enjoy some food, some snacks together. And it's a way for people to say, hey, I'm here and I'm interested in a little bit more, interested in learning a little bit more about the church. Next, we welcome and we invite people to get into a community group, to find a group of individuals that they can walk beside and invest in. And fourthly, we say, hey, if you really want to grow and you really want to get connected, find a place to serve. One of the best ways that we can get people connected is by incorporating them onto a team that they can serve alongside, use their gifts alongside. We have this pathway set out, but at some point, it requires an investment and an ownership from all of us. Right? We can't force people to meaningfully engage. That would be very unhealthy, right? All we do is lay out a framework for getting connected here, and we invite people to jump in. So maybe for you, this looks like, you know, you've been coming for a while and you're saying, hey, you know, I don't really know anybody, or nobody's really that friendly to me, or, you know, I haven't had opportunities to get to know people. You know, that's fair. Maybe we are dropping the ball, and I hope you'll be patient with us. Or maybe it's time for you to take a little bit more ownership, or for you to walk across the room or to seek out those relationships, you know? If you're coming Sunday after Sunday, sitting there like this, coming 5 minutes late, leaving 5 minutes early, you know, with a grumpy look on your face, you know, it's going to be hard to build those meaningful relationships, to get connected. And so the invitation in this point is very, very simple. We as a church have a responsibility to pursue and to love new people. And if you're here and you're interested in getting more connected, let me encourage you to step out and to jump in, to take the initiative, to take ownership, and to feel welcome to do that. You know, Summerside, I hope that we never have somebody who comes and who sits and has coffee with us after and doesn't have somebody come up and approach them. Have somebody come up and introduce themselves to them. And it doesn't matter if you are old or young and the individual is old or young. Don't expect somebody else in their demographic to connect with them, right? You seniors, feel free, and you young folks, feel free. Walk up, introduce yourself. And if you're here, let me challenge you and encourage you. Feel free to walk up to any of us and come and say hi and come and introduce yourself. Part of getting connected, of being having these real relationships, is jumping in and being invested. Right? This happens in all ways. Or maybe you're here and you're a regular at Summerside, but you're comfortable and, you know, you're kind of, things are good where they are. You're not growing a lot, but you're fairly comfortable. Let me challenge you. Find a group. Find a community. Find relationships that will stretch you and challenge you. To get out of community, you have to invest. And to be in a real relationship means at some point you're going to have to jump in and open yourself and get to know people. Here's the second one. I told you it was going to be practical, okay? After last week, I thought I'd give you a little bit of a break. Last week was heavy, I know. So jump in. Here's the second one. Have fun, okay? Look at what it says. I mean, when you read through this passage, they are in relationship. They're not just close to each other in proximity. They're in each other's lives. They sit around eating together, sharing what God is doing, enjoying one another. And it says that they did it with glad and sincere hearts. So what am I saying? That we just turn church into one giant party and forego the spiritual stuff? No, right? I mean, that's an interesting church model. I wonder if it's ever been done. I'll have to look into that. But here's the point. Don't underestimate the deep value that comes from doing simple things with intentionality. Right? Somehow, somewhere along the way, we have this perception that to be spiritual or to be a follower of Christ means you're all business, right? And somebody's like, what do you do for fun? And you're like, I don't do fun. I pray. Right? You're like, oh, well, I'm going to go talk to somebody else now, right? But you know what I'm talking about. Because everything is spiritual, if you are a follower of Christ, your entire life is lived under the dominion of Christ. If you are a follower of Christ, everything you do has deep meaning. Because everything is spiritual, not everything has to be spiritual. Right? Here's what I mean by that. When we're doing Friday night hockey with the intention of seeing people connected to Summerside, it's not like it only has eternal value. If, you know, there I am in my skates and somebody's like, all right, Devin, you're up. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to take 40 minutes of our ice time and I'm going to give you a sermon and we've got PowerPoint hooked up and, you know, or it's not like if you're with individuals, there's only deep meaning if you spiritualize it. No, there is deep meaning in all that we do because all that we do is done for God's glory. So if you think about the simple things that you do in your life day by day by day, let me ask you, what can you invite people into to experience joy and to have fun? We as followers of Christ proclaim a kingdom that brings joy. We are to be a community of joy. A community that knows how to have fun, that knows how to be in real relationship. So think carefully about the different things that you do throughout the week and what can you invite people into? I mean, maybe it's, you know, going for walks, going out for wings, doing meals at home, enjoying good food and drink, going on a knitting wool run, right? Maybe that's your idea of fun. You crazy rebel, you. Right? No, but maybe that's your thing. And if you meet somebody with that kind of interest, invite them along to enjoy that with you. Right? And if they don't know Christ, you don't need to be weird and turn on the Christian radio super loud. No, just enjoy being with them. Welcome them into your life. Walk with them. And look for the doors that God opens. Right? I mean, it's a simplistic point. Have fun. But I think there's something here. I enjoy the seasons and opportunities to pray, to fast, to wrestle, to laugh and to cry with individuals, right? Like, you know, those who are walking with Heather and I in our life, to experience that. I also enjoy times that we just have fun with people, right? That we can celebrate and live out that joy. Here's an example. For those of you who don't know, I didn't come to Summerside as a pastor, okay? So my first introduction to Summerside was pulling a U-Haul right by the building, and it said on my GPS that there was 1 kilometer to our destination. We were renting a house here in Summerside. 1 kilometer to our destination after driving from Halifax. And then we're driving, and Heather says to me, oh, look, there's a church right here, like a kilometer from where we're going to be living. So I thought, you know, it's going to have to be pretty bad for us not to want to go to a church that's right in our community. Like, what a great way to you know, hopefully invest in the kingdom and invite our friends. Like, let's take a chance. So we came here on a Sunday. It was interesting. You want to know what the sermon was on? I don't know. I have no idea. But do you want to know the songs that we sang? I don't remember either. I mean, I remember it was Orthodox. I would have remembered if, you know, if it was like an unhealthy church. No, I remember it was what it was, and we enjoyed our time, and we thought, okay, this seems like a good church. I'll tell you what I do remember. I remember people like John, Mark, and Sarah inviting us into their home with Arnie and Nancy. I remember Chris Taylor. I remember Luke. I remember Alex and Merrill inviting us downtown to go out. I remember the fun things that we were able to do together and those relationships that were built. Right? And because of that, Heather and I, although we had plans on church shopping, right? We came from a small little church plant with real tight community, and we were going to, you know, put all these churches through the ringer and try them all out. We never left. We literally tried one church in Summerside and stayed. Summerside. One church in London and stayed. Why? Relationships. Relationships. And here's the thing. Every Sunday, God brings people to our church for the first time. I'm willing to bet, if I were a betting man, but I'm a pastor, I would assume that a year from now, if you said to them, a week from now, if you said to them, let's be honest, what was the sermon on? They're not going to remember, right? If they said, what song did they sing? They probably won't remember. I'll tell you what they're going to remember. You. 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 That relationship. That ability to connect with people, to enjoy people, to fellowship together. That's profound stuff. We have empty seats here. God continues to bring new people. We want to see people connected. We want to see people grow. We want to see people loved and cared for and built up. That's not a Devon thing or a Mark thing or a Luke thing. That's not an elder thing or a staff thing or a ministry leader thing. That is a Summerside thing. And so that's why these relationships are so significant, because they're deeply, profoundly impactful for individuals. Don't underestimate the way that God can use the simple things that you do when you do them with intentionality. And maybe that for you means approaching somebody after the service, going out of your comfort zone, shaking their hand, or giving them a gigantic bear hug unexpectedly. Maybe that's your thing. I would recommend not, but maybe you've got that ability, right? I mean, you have no idea how God's going to use you if you step out in these simple things and say hi to people and welcome them. Okay, here's the third one. Here's my final point. So God calls us to jump in. Okay? That as a community, we gotta put ourselves out there in some respect. Right? Church is not a passive context. Right? We're called to have fun, to enjoy one another, and to celebrate together, to fellowship together in a deep and profound way. And number three, we are called to build a culture, not just the mass programs. Build a culture. If you look at what they're doing here in these few verses, they're not sitting down and strategizing with a consultant how to best reach out in their community. Right? They're not sitting here trying to create some initiative with pithy slogans and statements, trying to engage their neighbors. I mean, what they're doing is simplistic, beautifully simplistic. They're teaching what the apostles handed down to them. They are fellowshipping, they are praying, they are celebrating the Lord's table. But all of that is being done through culture that is shaped by the gospel. So what do I mean by culture? rather than programs and initiatives and events, the emphasis is on the overflow of the heart. When you talk about a culture, you're talking about the unwritten kind of norms, the things that are common, the things that are accepted, the things that are celebrated, the way that we do things here. That's a culture. And what we see here is a culture that is built not on consumerism, on getting my way, of having my say. It is a culture that is built on all that Jesus has accomplished for us. Man, that's the roots of all of this. And everything else is an overflow. So for example, we want to be a church that loves people, right? Obviously. We'd be terrible Christians if we said, right? We want to love people, don't we? We can't program that. We can't structure that. We can't make you do that. I mean, we can facilitate it and make it, you know, have an actual process. There's nothing wrong with that, but we can't make you love people. Culture does that. When it's founded on who Jesus is and what he's done for us, when we as a community are shaped by the love that we have received from Jesus, our Lord, and that overflows in the way that we treat one another, that's how you build the culture. When you think about it, if Jesus is willing to love somebody like me, there is nobody that I will ever meet who doesn't deserve love from me. We want to be a community of compassion, right? I mean, that loves and cares for people when they're hurting. You can't program that. You can't enforce that. I mean, we can have systems and helps in place to facilitate that, but that's a culture thing. That's a heart thing. And if we're going to be a church or a community of compassion that loves those who are hurting and walks with those who are struggling, it's only going to come when we base it on the compassion and mercy that we've received from Jesus. It always comes back to Jesus. That's how you build a culture. It's not by throwing programs at stuff, by rallying around events or initiatives. It's around each of us being so warmed by the gospel, so in love and amazed at Jesus and all that he's done for us, that we bubble over into the relationships that we have. We build a culture, not around an individual, not around a church name, not even around a vision. We build a culture around Jesus and the good news of all that he's done for us. That is powerful. That is impactful. I mean, in 1 John, John nails it. Listen to what he says here. This is 1 John 3:17 and 18, if you want to look it up later. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. And he nails it. He says, how can you, if you've received the love of God, fail to love your brother? Fail to love your sister? That's our mandate and that is our mission. It is simply to reciprocate, to give out, and to live out what we've received in Christ. And we do that by the power of the Spirit that has been gifted to us in Acts chapter 2. Summerside, let me ask you. Is the good news of Jesus preached at Summerside? I hope so. Hopefully not. Like, I'm still figuring that out. And I'm not tooting my own horn or Mark's. But as a community, by God's grace, do we proclaim the good news of Jesus? Yes, right? By God's grace, do we submit to his word as our authority? Yes. By God's grace, is he doing good things here? And by God's grace, do you want more people to experience that, to enter into that? We do, right? And again, that's not going to come because Devin's going to knock it out of the park. That's not going to come because Luke's voice gets healed. And he's not that it's healed. He's not feeling well today. I love Luke. He's my favorite. He's incredible. Right? Like, it's not going to come because all of a sudden Luke gets out the trombone and really jazzes it up, right? It's not going to come because we come up with a better initiative. I'll tell you what's going to come. How it's going to come. By doing the simple things well. By sticking close to the apostles' teaching. By fellowshipping together. By celebrating the Lord's table. By praying together. By doing it in real relationship. It's a community thing. And you have a role to play. One of the biggest lies that I see floating under the surface of those of us who attend church regularly, those of us who are followers of Christ but want to hang back and don't want to jump in, one of the biggest lies is this: they don't need you. And I don't believe that for one second. If you are a follower of Christ and you come here, you are a gift to this church from God. You have been equipped by God. And you have a role to play from God. Don't underestimate that. We can't afford for you to sit on the sidelines. We need you to be here to help us build a culture that is centered on Jesus. A place where people are loved in words and deeds. A place where compassion is offered. A place where grace is the currency that we exchange back and forth. Real relationships are profound. And real relationships are powerful. I mean, look at the final verse here. He says that as they are doing these simple things well, but in real relationship, they are praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number. The Lord works in people's hearts and minds to open them to the gospel. They respond with faith and baptism, repentance and baptism, faith in who Jesus is. That's the why. So that people can come to know Jesus. That people who right now are separated from God, who are alienated from Him, who are objects of His wrath right now, as we read in Ephesians chapter 2, could experience forgiveness and become the objects of His affection and mercy and grace. That's why we do this. You have a role to play. Maybe you're like, evangelism, right? Oh, what a pain to even talk about. I could never do that. I tried it once and it was really uncomfortable. Let me encourage you. You're right. God makes us all different. Some people, very good with people, right? Very natural. Some people, you're just awkward, right? Some people can think on their feet, right? They always got an answer to the people's questions. Other people, like one question, and the mind just goes totally blank, right? Some of you have a very open disposition, and some people like me just... people just don't respond that well to unless they know you, right? You're kidding? Ask my wife. I get nowhere unless my wife is with me. If I try to say hi to people or greet them on the street, I always get this look. Maybe it's my own insecurities. But here's the thing. Here's what I'm driving at. If evangelism, sharing the gospel, is perceived as convincing people of the truth of the gospel, that's a lot of pressure and that's very hard. That is part of it. That is part of it. But God wants to use you in other ways as well. Maybe you're good at hospitality. Maybe you're a good listener. Maybe you're good at just making people feel at ease or feel welcomed. Maybe you're a good networker. You're good at connecting people. Maybe you're good at walking with people through crisis. Whatever that be, God has gifted you and has given you a role to play in seeing people come to faith. You may water, somebody else may sow. You may walk with somebody and somebody else leads them to Christ. That's okay. It's a community thing. And each of us, each of you have a role to play. In Summerside, if we are going to see God add to our number, not just because we want to feel better about ourselves, but because we love and treasure Jesus and we want him to be worshipped and proclaimed, if we're going to see that happen, it's going to be a community effort. It's going to happen because we do the simple things well, but we do it with real relationships. And here's my prayer. That as God brings people to our church, that they are loved, that they are pursued, that they are cared for, that you will jump in and walk across the room and stick your hand out and say, hey, nice to meet you. That you'll take that chance because God's going to use it. I mean, he used it with my wife and I. We had intentions of going elsewhere. And maybe we wouldn't have ended up at a church as healthy as Summerside. God will use you as you seek to build those real relationships for his glory. I want to see more people connected here. I want to see more people involved in real relationships so that we can care for and love people out of the overflow of what Jesus has done for us. You have a role to play. And I'm excited to see you do it. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And all of this is for you. We look at the simplicity of the church here in Acts, and it's a beautiful thing. And life is more complicated now in the sense that there's 1,000 rules and regulations and expectations and technological advancements. But I pray that you would help us to do the simple things well, the profound things well, the important things well. I pray, God, that you would help us to continue to submit to your word and to preach Christ as Lord, to submit to the apostles' teaching given to us in the Bible. I pray, God, that you would help us to recognize the gravity and the beauty of the Lord's table when we celebrate it, and that we would do it with glad hearts. I pray that you would make us a community of prayer, that we would pray and pray often. And Father, I pray that we would be a church of real relationships where people are stepping out of their comfort zone and jumping in, whether that be jumping into community and opening themselves or jumping in by pursuing those who are new. And Father, I pray that you would make Summerside a place of joy. That when we are interacting as brothers and sisters in Christ, that people would look in and say, look at how they love one another. They must be Jesus' disciples. That they would look in and say, I want that. I want those kinds of relationships. And Father, as we seek to build a culture here that conforms more and more to all that we've received in the gospel, would you draw people and add them to our numbers? Father, it's not about Summerside. It's not about growing our kingdom. It is about you and your name and your fame and your reputation. So I pray that you would help us to grow, but that you would help us to grow through conversion, through people coming to faith in Jesus. We want to be a real church. We want to do relationships really, really well. Because Jesus, we love you. And because we want to see you lifted up. We ask all of this in your name. Amen.